It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, we talk with Wisconsin Congressional Representative Glenn Grothman about the debt ceiling and a couple of bills he's introduced in Congress. First, Dean Knetter joins us now because it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. The largest source of funding for WPR programs is from listeners like you. This drive is your chance to support all the programs you listen to all year long. Take that important step when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Hey, Dean.
Hey, Rob. It is good to be hanging out with you this afternoon. We should take a moment to thank everyone who gave last hour. We really appreciate it. This hour, we have a goal of 10 gifts. Now, we set up these hourly goals to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs that you rely on.
Let's meet this goal. It happens one gift at a time. Let's start with yours right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A large slice of the funding for the WPR programs you hear every day, actually the biggest slice, is listener support. So while all of our funding sources, the state and federal governments and businesses, are important, it's your contribution that makes a huge difference. WPR is an amazing service, and it's that way thanks to your support. Keep independent, high-quality programs on the air when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have a beautiful new t-shirt this year. It's printed here in Wisconsin. It's got bold lettering, a navy tee, and it features the message informed, inspired, connected. Show off how Wisconsin Public Radio programs make you feel when you ask for your WPR t-shirt today when you give $12 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It really is a cool t-shirt. You're going to want to pick that one up. Now, you may not agree with all the opinions you hear from callers or newsmakers on WPR programs. That's actually a good thing. It means that you're hearing multiple points of view, that you are fully engaged in a real discussion.
Ends up meaning that you're better informed about the issues because you've heard different perspectives. You can count on WPR for that kind of experience. We're listener-supported. Your gift right now keeps this variety of opinions on the radio. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We know you value your time. We value it too. So giving to WPR takes just a few minutes. Tell us your name, contact info, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
It's quick. It's easy to do. Your gift right now really does help. Take the next few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hey, if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. It is easy to set up ongoing monthly donations from a bank account or a credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You'll be providing ongoing support for the programs you love, and you automatically get entered in drawings we have during member drives like this one.
And speaking of drawings, as an added bonus for supporting the programs you love, you'll be entered in an exciting drawing today. One lucky person will win a $1,000 travel agency gift card to spend on their next adventure. No contribution is necessary. See WPR.org/drawing for details, or get entered automatically when you give any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We have about 50 minutes left this hour, and we're looking for 10 more people to join in to make our goal. You make WPR possible with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Tom in Oregon gave. Tom says, I so enjoy Larry Mueller and Central Time shows daily. Thank you so much for your gift, Tom. How about you support the radio you count on with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552? And thank you. It's Central Time. We're coming up on a month since the U.S. technically exceeded its national debt limit. Thanks to some accounting procedures, we are scheduled to see consequences in a few months. Congress has regularly voted to raise that ceiling in the past so that the country pays off debts accumulated by past spending, with one near miss one time. Well, here we are again, a divided Congress. President Biden is calling on the Republican-controlled House to raise the debt ceiling with no strings attached. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says his caucus is looking for cuts in federal spending as concessions for voting to raise that limit. Republican members of Congress have been meeting to try to come up with a plan for cuts they can all agree on. Today, the Congressional Budget Office projected the government would stop being able to pay its debts sometime between July and September. Defaulting could cause some major international and domestic economic turmoil. Wisconsin Representative Glenn Grothman joins us now for a look at the debt ceiling and other issues before Congress. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see come out of this debt ceiling story? Do you want to see some cuts attached to a ceiling increase? Are there things you want to see Democrats and Republicans cooperate on in a divided Congress? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Glenn Grothman is a Republican representing Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. That includes Oshkosh, Fond du Lac, Sheboygan, Portage, and Manitowoc. Representative Grothman, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be on the show.
Let's start with that debt ceiling.
Glad to have a chance to talk to the erudite listeners.
I love it.
Public Radio.
It's your catchphrase on the show. I appreciate that. Now, let's start with this debt ceiling, Representative Grothman. What are you hoping to see come out of this this debate, this procedure?
Well, I'm not going to ask for a lot. Obviously, I think the Republicans in the House are going to ask for something collectively, some acknowledgement that we're spending too much money, and therefore some reduction in spending compared to what is anticipated than in the past. Right now, we've got a situation which, if we just do nothing, we're going to go over $1 trillion more in debt in the upcoming year. That's obviously intolerable. The cuts could come from any one of a variety of places, but traditionally, I think when we're this out of whack, we have to acknowledge we're spending too much and have some reduction. And, you know, it's something that we've got to complete. It would be a disaster in the markets if we literally defaulted. So it's going to get done. But like I said, I think traditionally over a period of years, when things are this out of whack, something is done. Some commitment for the future, or I would prefer something now. So your listeners understand there are two types of spending in Washington. There's discretionary spending, which Congress does have to vote on every year, and mandatory spending, which goes on automatically. I do not want to cut Medicare or Social Security. That's off the table. So we'll have to look for something else. Some agreement right now that there's going to be less spending than anticipated. And one thing your listeners should be aware of, as interest rates go up, the interest that the federal government has to pay goes up as well. So again, even if we do nothing, there is a rather dramatic increase in just interest expense spending.
I think one of the arguments from the Biden administration it goes along these lines. We can talk about the deficit and the debt when we are doing the budget voting stuff. It shouldn't be attached to the debt ceiling, which is paying for, you know, the money we've already spent in effect. What do you say to that?
Well, we're not going to, or traditionally, we don't vote for a regular, what we call appropriations bill or general budget till around Christmas. So first of all, that's saying we're not going to have to deal with the problem for another 10 or 11 months. And secondly, we are near record levels here going into debt every year. When things are this out of whack, it shouldn't be that difficult to do something.
Turning to Social Security and Medicare, you mentioned that just a few moments ago. About 2 weeks back, we talked to your Wisconsin delegation colleague, Democrat Mark Pocan, about the debt ceiling. He has raised concerns about Social Security and Medicare. Speaker McCarthy, as you have said, those are off the table, at least when we're talking about the debt ceiling. Here's a listen to Representative Pocan. He's describing a recent House resolution on condemning socialism.
They really showed their cards, the Republican Party, when there was an amendment that said Social Security and Medicare is not socialism, and they wouldn't accept it. So, you know, they've foreshadowed what they plan on doing. They plan on going after these programs. Enough of their members have said they plan on that. So we want to lift the ability to have that happen through a simple majority vote to really being a supermajority.
I'm referring there to legislation he's co-sponsoring. Congressman Grothman, what would you say to your Democratic colleagues in the Wisconsin delegation about the future of these Social Security and other programs?
To me, that's your most important thing. People rely on it, and they paid money their entire life expecting what amounts to a pension to be there. So it's off limits. My general opinion is the type of people, if they ever do go after Social Security, who go after it, are people who want to spend more in other areas. And they realize that because for those of us who have made Social Security the number one thing we can't cut, it's going to make it more difficult for them to spend money in other areas. I'm not going to cut it. I think for Mark to say that, I cannot think. I meet in private meetings as well. I'm on the budget committee. I make it clear, other people make it clear, we're not going to touch Social Security.
Now, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin has talked about, you know, not cuts, but saying, let's move it from that mandatory category where it just keeps going to something we have to vote on periodically, maybe every year, like other budget items. What do you think of that notion?
First of all, if you are going to change something, because we have a filibuster rule in the Senate, when it's discretionary spending, you're going to have to get 60 senators to sign off. If we ever do have all three in Republican control again, which I'd like to have in 2 years, changes can be made to mandatory programs without having the Democrats sign off. So for that reason, unlike a lot of other congressmen, I would rather have things mandatory, but either way, we're not going to touch Social Security. There are a lot of programs that could be described as welfare programs that are in mandatory, and for the reason I just stated, I'd rather keep those in mandatory.
Before we move on from the debt ceiling, Representative Grothman, if it were your druthers, where would you want to start seeing cuts made to try to tackle the deficit?
I have been critical of welfare type programs in the past. I think the programs are designed such that they discourage work, and because they frequently go to people either based on a percent of poverty, they have a strong marriage penalty associated with them as well. I also think a lot of the programs are mismanaged, and we'd be better off sending them back to the states. Other areas, Department of Commerce, Department of Education, are things that I think really are not a federal responsibility either and should also be sent back to the states.
We're talking to Republican Representative Glenn Grothman, looking at big issues facing Congress. Coming up, we'll look at some legislation he's introducing. That's coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our conversation with Wisconsin Republican Representative Glenn Grothman, looking at new legislation he's introduced and what's going on in this congressional session. Representative Grothman, want to look at that legislation now. One bill you're introducing, you want to standardize the threshold of penalties for offenses involving fentanyl. Can you talk us through that bill?
Sure. First of all, I'd like to point out our drug problem in this country was publicized, I think has been underpublicized. When I got this job, which was just 7 years ago, 8 years ago, there were, I believe, 47,000 people a year dying in this country of illegal drug overdoses. 47,000, that's a lot. By comparison, 57,000 people died during the Vietnam War, and that was over a 12-year period. We're now at 108,000. So every year, the number of people who die of illegal drugs is twice that died during the 12 years of the Vietnam War. So the question is what to do about it. I think when you have something that horrific, you really have to crack down on the people selling it. We want to increase the penalties for fentanyl to where they are right now for heroin, because fentanyl is much more dangerous than heroin. A lot of times people die when they think they're buying heroin and there's some fentanyl in the mix. So it seems to me appropriate that the mandatory minimum be the same for fentanyl as it is for heroin. I also think really we have to do a lot more at the border, which might even be more important. In the budget, we're going to try to get more money in there for dogs. I mean, they've been down at the border. It's amazing what these dogs are able to sniff out, and hopefully get more money for just Border Patrol agents in general. But for 107,000 people a year dying of drug deaths, which is a shocking number. And when I go through individual counties in my district, I like to ask sheriffs or DAs how many people have died last year in your county. Winnebago County, which is Oshkosh, Neenah area, they had 40 people die last year. I mean, just an incredible number, frequently young people, which makes it all the more tragic.
And another piece of legislation you've introduced, you say, is aimed at increasing career opportunities for people living with disabilities. Now, this gets a little technical and complicated. Broad strokes, what would the bill do?
Okay. So you understand what we're talking about here. There are places that used to be called sheltered workshops. I'm trying to think of the large ones in southeast Wisconsin. RCS in Sheboygan, Threshold in West Bend would be examples of them. There are people right now who are trying to shut down these programs. They feel it's wrong to have people with different abilities working together, that they should be out in the community. They also don't like the fact that frequently these people are paid less than minimum wage. Frequently these people get some sort of Social Security disability, so it's not like they're living entirely on what they make. But we're trying to go back and get back to where the rules were 8 years ago. Among other things, we'd like to see these people begin to be able to work at these places when they're 21 years old. Right now, there's a rule that says before you work at these places, you have to try and fail to work at three other places in the community first. First of all, it's a hard thing to go through, and it's frequently obvious that they can't work in the community. Secondly, we do like it when people with different abilities do get jobs in the community. But when you send somebody off who's going to fail, I think it makes it that much more difficult to find businesses who are willing to take the chance or give the opportunities to people with different abilities.
Now, some disability advocacy groups are behind your legislation. Some others have raised concerns, including Disability Rights Wisconsin. They're saying, in effect, you're making it easier to segregate people with disabilities and potentially to be exploited by being paid less.
Yeah, I mean, I cannot tell you the degree to which I disagree more than people who take that position. Anybody who tours one of these facilities, to say these folks are being exploited, the people who work in these facilities of all abilities are not wildly well paid. The idea that we have people getting wealthy, taking advantage of people with Down syndrome, this sort of thing, is preposterous. These people are saints. You know, they give their lives to make sure that the people with these abilities have opportunities, pride in work. And then to come around and pretend like there's some sort of robber barons is just comical. When they say they should be out in the community, you meet people of all sorts of different abilities in these sort of places. They meet people, you know, management, completely average. You do get a chance to meet people who become lifelong friends. I could say you're in a better place in one of these places because you do meet lifelong friends as opposed to maybe finding a fast food restaurant that'll hire you where there's a lot of turnover and you don't have the comfort you get and the socialization you get from being with these other folks. So both socially and economically, I think these things provide great opportunities. And what's going to happen if you do shut them down, and a lot of the advocate groups like you're talking about do want to shut them down, you're not going to find anybody who's going to hire these folks for 30 or 35 hours a week. You may find some business who will take them in from, you know, 6 or 8 hours a week, but that's not the same thing as having a regular job. And anybody who tours these places, the pride these folks get about getting a regular job, just like their siblings, just like their parents, where every day you go off to work, it makes them feel tremendous. And if you ever do tour them, I don't know how many of them have open houses. I've obviously taken a lot of tours. It will just make you feel good that these people who've been dealt what a lot of people would consider a tough lot in life are a lot happier than a lot of people who have what some of us would call a more regular job in the community.
Representative Grothman, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Glad to be on the show as always. Look forward to being back soon.
That's Glenn Grothman, Republican representing Wisconsin's 6th Congressional District. He joins us today for a look at the debt ceiling and two new pieces of legislation he's introduced in the House. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. Dean Kinetter joins me now. Our goal is to keep bringing you important conversations, like opportunities to hear from elected officials at all levels of Wisconsin government, as we just did, as the morning show is doing tomorrow with Senator Tammy Baldwin. Your support makes it happen, because listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just over 30 minutes left this hour, Rob, and we are looking for 9 more people to join in now to meet our goal. Big thanks if you've already given.
If you haven't, give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Your gift will fund the programs you count on.
In that last segment, we did talk with Representative Grothman about bills he's sponsoring. And one of the biggest issues facing Congress right now, the debt ceiling. This is such a big part of the service we provide here at Wisconsin Public Radio, giving you a line to your lawmakers, Republican, Democratic, in between. You get to hear civil conversations about the issues of the day. This is the kind of stuff that you can count on from Central Time.
And because WPR is listener supported, your donation makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I see another gift just popped up.
Hey, that means we have 8 more people that we're looking for before the end of the hour to meet that goal. Make an ongoing gift of $15 or $20 a month, whatever amount is right for you. Set it up on a credit or debit card or right from your bank account. It's what we call a sustaining gift. It's an easy way to give, and your support will be current year after year.
Your support will be as consistent as your WPR listening. Become a sustainer and support every minute you listen. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
A reminder that you can show off how WPR programs make you feel when you ask for your WPR t-shirt today. It has bold lettering. It's a navy tee featuring the message informed, inspired, connected. Give $12 a month or more, and that shirt is yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Luann in Green Bay says, I adore Central Time. Always great topics. Thank you so much, Luann. Really appreciate it. How about you? Do you count on us for great conversations each and every day here on the Ideas Network? We count on you to help pay for it. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. Coming up, we take a look at housing covenants in Wisconsin that restricted people based on race and religion from moving into certain neighborhoods. They're now illegal, but they're still on the books in some places. We'll find out about an effort to take them off. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. Dean Kinetter joins me now. We're here today to raise the money that pays for the programs that you enjoy, programs like Central Time. Support from people like you is the largest piece of funding for Wisconsin Public Radio programs. That's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is such a big deal.
We are working on one of our hourly goals. We are searching for 8 more people to join in and make a gift in the next, 25 minutes or so. Then we'll meet that goal. These are set up to make sure we have the funding to pay for the programs you enjoy. So make a donation now at WPR.org. Or call 888-202-2552.
You listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. You're smart. You want to know what's going on in the news and the culture around us. We're right there with you, covering all the interesting and important stuff here on Central Time.
The show has a real Wisconsin focus. That's something we're proud of. We enjoy putting it together. It connects you with guests from around the state and issues that affect your life. Listener support is what makes it all happen. Join in with your gift now. Make that big difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, it looks like 2 more gifts came in. Thank you so much. We hear from a lot of first-time donors who are giving because they've gotten their first job out of college, or maybe people turned 30 and realized, I'm a grown-up now. It's time to give to WPR.
Hey, giving money is giving money to something you believe in, a service that you rely on. It's a great way to commemorate that new phase of your life. We encourage it. Many first-time donors give $10 or $20 a month, but you choose the amount that's right for you, and then go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Where do you want to go for your next vacation?
I would go to New York City and see some Broadway shows.
I would go to the UP to ski.
Someplace warm. I would take a friend of mine and we'd just go chill out on the beach.
Give any amount and you can win a $1,000 travel agency gift card for your next adventure. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find all the details at WPR.org/drawing. Make your gift of any amount right now to be automatically entered. Here's how.
Make the gift, get entered into that drawing online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Dean Kinetter. The WPR programs you enjoy are all possible thanks to your support. Your gift of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes a big difference for our entire community.
You hear about that $10 gift a lot, $10 a month. When you do the math, it works out to just 33 cents a day. When you think about the daily information and inspiration you get from WPR programs, it's a good value.
What else can you get for 33 cents a day? Not much. Make your gift of 10 bucks a month right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. That 33 cent a day investment is going to bring you back programs that keep you engaged and up to date.
That gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, makes intelligent radio available to the entire state of Wisconsin and even beyond. You can see why that donation makes a difference.
That big impact is accomplished in just a couple few minutes. Give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And hey, you choose the amount.
And Rob, we are making some good progress on this goal.
All right.
Things have kicked into gear. We are now looking for just five more people to join in the next 20 minutes to hit that goal. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
We have that big drawing going on right now. One lucky person will win a $1,000 travel agency gift card to spend on their next trip near or far. Imagine the places you could go. Starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. If you're a sustainer making those ongoing monthly gifts, great news, you're automatically already entered.
It's a good time of year to start thinking about that trip and where you might want to go and get entered into that drawing. If you are not one of those sustainers who's automatically entered, become one right now. It's easy to set up the monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Super convenient. Just takes a few minutes. You'll provide ongoing support for the programs that you love and get automatically entered in those drawings we have during member drives.
Susan in Madison says, I'm supporting Wisconsin's local shows because they warm my heart and ground me in the things that are truly helpful and keep life skills alive and thriving. Fantastic, Susan. So glad you're listening and that you appreciate it. How about you? Support the radio that you count on for information, for news, for connection, for inspiration. Make your gift right now online at WPR.org. Takes just a few minutes or make a phone call at 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. People around Wisconsin are working to remove housing covenants from the 1940s and earlier that restricted Black and Jewish people from living in certain houses. The covenants officially became illegal to enforce as of 1968, but they're still written into some deeds today. Advocates say even though they can't be practiced, they can still cause harm. Margaret Arney is a common council member in Wauwatosa. She consults for the African American Leadership Alliance, Milwaukee, and coordinates the African American Leadership Program. Alderperson Arney, thanks for joining us today. And Anne,
I'm glad to be here.
And Anne Bonds is with us, associate professor and associate chair of geography and affiliate faculty of the Urban Studies Program at UW-Milwaukee. She's the co-director of UW-Milwaukee's Mapping Racism and Resistance Project. Anne, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to join you today.
And can you start by talking about what covenants were and why they were written into housing deeds in the first place?
Yep. Racial covenants were inserted into property records in the early part of the 20th century for segregationist purposes. And so, and you noted that they were from the 1940s and earlier, but we have evidence of covenants that were actually inserted into property records well after 1940, into the 50s, even 1962. That's the latest one we found. But these covenants were legally enforceable, as you know, really up until 1948 in a Supreme Court ruling, that essentially made them not illegal to include in property records, but non-enforceable. But it wasn't until 1968 that they were actually found to be unconstitutional, not included in property records at all. So these were a really powerful mechanism for sustaining racial segregation of neighborhoods. They were often applied by real estate agents or property owners or developers as new subdivisions were being built. We see them all across Milwaukee County, including its surrounding suburbs and in the city of Milwaukee itself.
And Alderperson Arnie, people might be surprised to hear, I was kind of surprised to hear, these actually are still on property deeds. What do you see when you look around Wauwatosa and beyond?
Well, yes, because deeds travel with the property, that's why when, especially if people have older homes that have been through multiple transactions, there's no way in the law right now to go back and actually redact or take away the language. So it can be quite alarming. And they were very common. And that's something that I think people don't really understand, is that this was not like a couple of people or a couple of places that decided this individually. This was very much a systemic issue, because people who were building the new subdivisions had ideas in their head about what would create a community of high value. And so high value communities excluded people who had lower or considered undesirable characteristics, especially being Jewish or being Black. And they were very, very explicit. The language of these covenants is shockingly explicit compared to the very veiled kind of racialized language or dog whistle type language we have now. Oh no, it was real clear.
Right. I've read some examples, Alderperson Arnie, like literally they say you can't sell this house to a Black or Jewish person, or you can't sell this house to anyone other than a white American citizen. Like,
exactly.
Yeah.
It was actually beyond even sale and ownership. It was occupancy. Mm. Like a person could not even rent there. They couldn't reside there. And I personally, I'm not sure exactly how this worked legally, but there's an overlap between communities that had these non-resident rules and also being sundown communities. If you were a person of color or a person who didn't look like a white person, a white Christian person, you were not welcome to do anything except work in the community.
I was just going to add to that point. Oftentimes we see it's very common for provisions to be included that say, you know, no one who is not white can, a common phrase, no one other than white, the white race can occupy said property. And then there might be a clause that comes afterwards that says something, unless they're employed by the owners or the renters of said property. So you see the layers of racial discrimination that are really built into these. It's very explicit and very obvious in these deeds. There's no, as Margaret noted, there's no really kind of hiding the intention and purpose.
And we hear a lot about modern day segregation in southeastern Wisconsin, in Dane County, and elsewhere. Do these covenants form part of the map that still sticks with us in some ways today?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, they have an enduring legacy. They were one mechanism that worked in conjunction with all sorts of techniques for segregating cities along the lines of race. They had a powerful way. Not only were they legally enforceable, and those who challenged them would risk foregoing their property, but they were also very symbolic. They communicated a message, and that was their intention, that high class, as Margaret mentioned a minute ago, high class residential neighborhoods were coded as white, represented as white, and that people who were classified as non-white were represented as a threat to property values. So we see them working in conjunction with other techniques. A lot of people have heard about redlining. There's lots of discussion about redlining. Racial covenants predate redlining. And in fact, redlining maps were drawn around covenants. The FHA openly supported covenants and encouraged lending in neighborhoods with racial covenants. So these were a widely embraced tool.
And Alderperson Arnie, you are working on a program called TOSA Together aimed at removing this language, these covenants from deeds in your community. Can you tell us about that program and what it's going to take?
Actually, just to clarify, TOSA Together is a group of citizens that was formed in, I believe it was 2016 when we first got together. And we're about lifting up the values of belonging, justice, welcome, and creating and lifting up those values in many, many ways throughout Wauwatosa. And actually the organization, TOSA Together advocated for the establishment of the Equity and Inclusion Commission.
I see.
Which was established as part of Wauwatosa City government. Well, we're a citizen commission as part of Wauwatosa. And that commission, and I really want to say thank you again to Rosemary Fox, who just did the work to bring us the resolutions and bring us through different iterations. And that Equity and Inclusion Commission prepared the resolution, came to the Common Council, and we voted for it to move forward. So yeah, that's how that went.
And then what's the next step for that? Because as you mentioned, it's difficult to take this language out of a deed.
Well, our city attorney, Alan Kessner, also a gold star for Alan and his work, said the best way is to change Wisconsin law to make it possible for all municipalities and all entities that issue deeds to redact this language. And so I just got off the phone with a member of the staff of Representative Robin Vining, and they have begun just, I think, yesterday to investigate with the Legislative Reference Bureau, I believe, what it would take to change Wisconsin law. And we're really grateful for the work of others, the Mapping Racism Group particularly, for bringing to our attention laws in other states that allow for this change. And I want to say something about the symbolic nature of this. This is really important about a change of mindset. I mean, our fundamental ideas about how the world works have changed. The founders of these communities put in these restrictive covenants, they really believed that they were doing something good, and they were doing something that would secure a prosperous future. We now know that they were not correct. The MMAC put forward that our biggest economic threat to our regional prosperity is the persistence of racial disparities. So coming after this language, coming after this fundamental mindset, is a big change, and I'm really glad to be part of it.
And Ann Alderperson already just mentioned that Mapping Racism and Resistance project. In our last minute or so, can you tell us a bit about what you're working on there?
Yes, our project is a project to document all racial covenants in Milwaukee County, and we will map them. This is a huge undertaking. It's really important to note that we're in the process of discovering right now, we don't even know how many of these exist. Because these are deeply embedded in property records, it's difficult to know. And so we're in the process right now. What we've done is we've used a system working with our collaborators, Mapping Prejudice in Minneapolis, to get all of the property records from 1910 to 1960 in Milwaukee County. And then from that, we use optical character recognition to kind of turn these, to read the text and to identify racial language. Through that, we then have a collated set of about 20,000 records that we're now working with volunteers throughout Milwaukee County to identify and transcribe the covenants. So we're right now in the process of working together collaboratively with the community to really find out how much of the land in Milwaukee County was covered with racial covenants. And then, you know, once we have this data set, we can really start to understand more about the enduring legacies and impacts of these covenants, the role that they played in shaping the racial geography of Milwaukee County.
We'll leave it there. Anne, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And Alderperson Arney, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. I also want to lift up that racial and religious discrimination. So we want to acknowledge the discrimination against folks that were non-Christian as well. So, and thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Margaret Arney, Common Council member in Wauwatosa, who consults for the African American Leadership Alliance Milwaukee and coordinates the African American Leadership Program, and Anne Bonds, Associate Professor of Geography, who's part of the Mapping Racism and Resisting Project at UW-Milwaukee. We've been looking at the history of housing covenants in Wisconsin and efforts to remove them from official documents. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. You count on the Ideas Network for interesting conversations. We count on you to help keep those on the air. Dean Kinetter is with me now. Hey, Dean.
Hey, Rob. You know, listener support is the biggest piece of funding for the shows that you hear every day on WPR. Makes Central Time and all the other shows here possible. It's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is really important.
Just a few minutes to go in the hour. We're knocking on the door of our goal for the hour. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and count on each and every day.
WPR programs are truly listener powered. That means your donation right now makes the difference. You can make that gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
How about that last conversation, looking at this history, not a unique history, something that happened all over the country, including here in Wisconsin, these racial and religious covenants restricting who could live where and how their impact persists to the present day and efforts to confront that now. It's the example, an example of the kind of Wisconsin-focused conversation you can count on here on Central Time.
Those kind of conversations are listener-supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes those and many other topics you tune in for every day possible. Just choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Enjoy the 2023 USA-made Wisconsin Public Radio T-shirt. The Navy shirt shows a simple message: informed, inspired, connected. Show your dedication. For WPR programs, ask for your T-shirt with your gift of $12 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Hi, I'm Lance from Madison.
And I'm Cheryl.
When did we become sustaining members? Cheryl, I'm trying to remember. It's been quite a while. You do the
finances. I think maybe it was about the same time that I moved here. So we've probably been sustaining members of WPR for about 10 years. We had each supported public radio in our respective states. And when I was an Iowa resident, I supported Iowa Public Radio and Lance supported Wisconsin Public Radio. And so I think when I moved here to Wisconsin, to Madison, we just pooled our efforts and decided to become sustaining members because we realized what a big part of our everyday life WPR had become and felt morally obligated to help support the programming.
Feel good and make a difference right now at WPR.org.
Make that gift online at WPR.org or make a phone call at 888-202-2552. It's the Winter Member Drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Dean Kinetter joins me. Listener support is the single biggest source of funding for all your favorite Wisconsin Public Radio programs. And that's why your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month is a big deal. It really does make a difference.
You know, maybe you listened to WPR for the first time in school. As a kid, we hear that a lot. Or in the car with your parents, or maybe you just found us on your own, flipping through the dial. No matter how you first tuned in, you probably want to see WPR continue. It's an important part of the state.
If you've never given before, now is the time to do your part. It's never too late to make that first gift of $10 or $20 a month. It's easy. It doesn't take long. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
take a second to think about what you spend money on every day. Coffee, takeout food, that stuff adds up. It's easy to spend money on things that are part of your routine.
Well, Wisconsin Public Radio is also part of your routine. It's your news source, your conversation starter, your place to learn. So spend some money on it today. Start with a dollar a day. That's $30 a month, or at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are looking for a couple more gifts in our last bit of the hour here to meet our goal. Help us get there. Help us support the programs that you love, that you rely on and listen to every day. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make that gift.
That lovely 2023 WPR t-shirt is USA made, printed here in Wisconsin. It is yours with a gift of $12 a month or more at 888-202-2552 or online at WPR.org. Looking for just a couple more gifts to hit our goal. You might be able to put us over the top when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
There's a lot of great reasons to give. There's a lot of great ways to give. Probably the best one is to become a sustaining member, though. You make ongoing monthly gifts. They come right out of a bank account or a credit card. It's easy to set up. And if you're already making those gifts, make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month or whatever amount you choose. You can make it all happen at WPR.org or on the phone at 888-202-2552.
Lisa in Oconomowoc says, Central Time is great. All the shows are. But Central Time is my inspiration for contributing. Oh, that's so nice. Thank you,
Lisa.
Go, Lisa. I'm glad you like Central Time and all the other stuff, too.
Yeah.
No, there's a lot of great shows. Thank you, Lisa, really, though. How about you support the shows that you love, that you count on with your very important gift? At WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.